out of this world beyond imagination. Even our most fanciful notions cannot come close to describing the majesty of God and the mystery of the world to come. And yet it is good to keep on striving, to offer our best, most creative attempts to name the awe and wonder, the splendour and beauty that surrounds the throne of God, and to be playful in our worship, knowing that we barely scratch the surface, yet are all the better for reaching beyond ourselves, beyond what we know, and alongside all our imagining, striving to understand, we spread grace and beauty and love when we serve one another. And when we are enabled to see the face of Christ in all we encounter, the glory of heaven present on earth. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning, and a welcome to anyone who's listening online or through one of the CDs. You're very welcome too. The order of service has quite a number of intimations, which I'll leave you to read mostly in your own time. Highlight just one or two. A wee reminder that next Saturday we have our Halloween party. And it's a Halloween party for everyone. It's not just for those with kids or grandkids to take along. You're all very welcome to come along. There are fancy dress competitions for adults as well as children. Please feel free to come along, either dressed up or not, if that is your preference. But the party is next Saturday at 5 till 7. Carol's also reminding me that next Sunday is the shoebox appeal Sunday, and so if you have been filling a box at home, please bring it along with you next week, or if you have any items that can be added to shoeboxes, then please bring them next week at two. And if you've got any questions about the shoeboxes or the Halloween party, see Carol and she'll hopefully be able to answer your questions. When you came in your order of service, you should also have received one of these flyers. It's for an event on the 2nd of November being coordinated by our cluster group of churches. We were conscious that there's a lot going on in the world just now and a lot going on within our presbytery that we might have some worries and concerns about. So it's a day of reflection and prayer. And each of the churches listed on the back of the leaflet will be open between 10 o'clock in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. And the idea is that you can visit one or two or try and get around them all. Each will be offering a different prayerful, reflective experience. So we've kind of called it a prayer safari in our subtext. So something for us all to think about doing on that day. On the 3rd of November, Abby has been organising another music recital. So if it's not in the intimations this week, it'll be there next week. But just maybe flag it up just now for you. The 3rd of November, 3 o'clock here, with some musicians from the university and hopefully one or two down from the academy as well. So something else for your diaries. I think I'm going to leave everything else for you to read in your own time, because I'm sure I'll miss somebody's favourite intimation out if I start to do too many. We are here this morning to worship. We often come to this place with our heads full, with our minds dreaming of days gone by. We all dreamt a lot. Some are lucky, some are not. Let us not dream of the past, but dream big into the future, for this is how God thinks for the world. Let us make our dreams a reality. We stand to sing hymn 457, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
I knew I would forget something really important. We have a Kirk session meeting this Wednesday, so a wee reminder to members of the board of the session, 7:30 here in the sanctuary for a board meeting and then a Kirk session meeting. Let's come to God in prayer. May words be allowed to fail us today, and may we instead find silence and imagination. May we make time to pause and not describe, but simply be. May we wonder at the strangeness of things and find in such wonder a mystery called faith. May we find awe in the depth of our silence that sounds cannot fill. And let us be in such presence of majesty and dreams, and allow our souls to be shaped by that which is beyond us. May we find emotion instead of words, so that our adoration and thanksgiving becomes a way of being in this place. Great God, here on the very edge of what is eternal, may we see beyond where we are, and in the imagery of the ancients, dream a possibility for today, here in this place, your place of encounter. Holy, holy, holy are you, O God, and in such holiness we confess, not because we are scared, not because we are frightened, not because we are overpowered, but because we trust in the wonder of love and the awesomeness of your grace. So we confess to you now what we have done and left undone, said and left unsaid, broken and left broken, ignored or left ignored. Holy, holy, holy God, who was and is to come, hear us. Love us back to the people you long us to be, and dare us believe again in our confessing that we are renewed and made holy through our humanity once more. And as your holy people, we join our voices in the great prayer of Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kindness of God. Amen.
The first reading this morning is Psalm 33, which you will find on page 554 of the Pew Bibles if you wish to follow. Let us listen for the word of God. All you that are righteous, shout for joy for what the Lord has done. Praise him, all you that obey him. Give thanks to the Lord with harps, sing to him with stringed instruments. Sing a new song to him, play the harp with skill, and shout with joy. The words of the Lord are true, and all his works are dependable. The Lord loves what is righteous and just. His constant love fills the earth. The Lord created the heavens by his command, the sun, moon, and stars by his spoken word. He gathered all the seas into one place. He shut up the ocean depths into storerooms. Worship the Lord, all the earth. Honour him, all peoples of the world. When he spoke, the world was created. At his command, everything appeared. The Lord frustrated the purposes of the nation. He keeps them from carrying out their plans.
Thank you, Anne. Right, I'm going to have a little test for you now. How many of you like your music? How many of you like a bit of rock music? Oh, good, good. See, Graham doesn't think you're going to know these songs or be able to identify the various artists. It's a bit kind of like name this tune in, but we just want to know who the artists are because the tunes all have very similar names. So we're going to play a few different tunes and I want you to try and identify for me who the artist might be. You ready for that? Right. Hopefully you'll recognise some of them, if not all of them, and we'll be impressed if you know them all. So we'll go for the first one, Graham.
The little girl, she said to me, what are these things that I can see? Each night when I come home from school.
Any ideas?
When Mama calls.
Hey, well done, George. Exactly. It's Chris Rea singing, Tell Me There's a Heaven. Right, we'll go with the next one. Alison was very quick off the mark there. That is, of course, Meatloaf. Heaven Can Wait off of one of the best albums you will ever hear. Anyway, we'll go for the next one, something slightly different.
Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth?
Mary was the one that was quick off the mark there. That was, of course, Belinda Carlisle and singing Heaven is a Place on Earth. Right, I think you might know the next one. Well, most folk would know the next one. I'll let it play a wee bit first. Pauline was quick off the mark there with Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Robert Plant. Yeah. But anyway, Stairway to Heaven. So most of you recognise that one, perhaps. Okay, we'll go for another. This one may be slightly more tricky.
Adams,
indeed, indeed. Well done. You're doing really well, actually. See, Graham, you have little faith. Right, we've got one more. See if you can tell me who this might be.
Whippoorwill's call, evening is nigh, hurry to my blue heaven. Turn to the right, there's a little white light, we'll lead you to mine.
Who's that? It's Frank Sinatra. Yeah, Anyway, those were six different songs all about heaven. And that's what we're going to be thinking about shortly when we hear our reading today from the book of Revelation. And I was saying to Graham earlier on, it was really interesting when I Googled yesterday songs about heaven, almost all of the ones that came up in the top wee pile were all rock songs. Actually, it was just, there weren't very many others kind of from a more kind of middle of the road. But anyway, a wee selection of rock music for this morning and a wee bit of rock and roll from Frank Sinatra too, all about heaven. And that's what we're going to be thinking about later on once Anne has read to us our second reading. Going to sing a hymn 120, God We Praise You, and we're going to use the second of the tunes that's listed in the music version of the hymn book. So if you're following the music, we're going to listen to the Lux, Trim and Dia tune, and Gordon's going to play the verse through for us once, and then we'll join in the second verse.
Thank you.
The second lesson is from the New Testament, from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, reading from verse 1, Worship in Heaven. At this point, I had another vision and saw an open door in heaven. And the voice that sounded like a trumpet, which I had heard speaking to me before, said, Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this. At once the Spirit took control of me. There in heaven was a throne. With someone sitting on it. His face gleamed like such precious stones as jasper and carnelian, and all around the throne there was a rainbow the color of an emerald. In a circle round the throne were 24 other thrones, on which were seated 24 elders, dressed in white and wearing crowns of gold. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lighted torches were burning, which are the seven spirits of God. Also, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Surrounding the throne on each of its sides were four living creatures, covered with eyes in front and behind. The first one looked like a lion, the second looked like a bull. The third had a face like a human face, and the fourth looked like an eagle in flight. Each one of the four living creatures had six wings, and they were covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night they never stopped singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. The four living creatures sing songs of glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. When they do so, the 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They throw their crowns down in front of the throne and say, Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Anne, for doing both of those readings this morning. We sing again, this time 470, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. As we continue to explore that funny, peculiar final book of our Bibles, we are presented with a vision. We have the author's dreamlike vision of a place that can only be held in our imaginations, the throne of God. The author draws here on a number of forebears who have similarly tried to imagine what that holy place might be like. From the prophetic description, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing beside him to the right and to the left of him. That was from 1 Kings chapter 22. And we could have the apocalyptic imagery of Isaiah's commission. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah 6. And Ezekiel's call. As I looked, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with brightness around it and fire flashing forth continually. And in the middle of the fire, something like gleaming amber. In the middle of it was something like four living creatures. We find out later that these living creatures comprising the pteromorph have the faces of a human, a lion, an ox, and an eagle, just as we heard described in our reading from Revelation. These are later associated with the four Gospels and give representation to the different facets of Christ Jesus. And while the language of Revelation seems incredibly ornate and over the top to us today, it follows in a tradition of such descriptive attempts to describe what is otherwise revelation of God, indescribable. We have to rely on our imaginations. And in doing so, as was the case with the previous attempts to describe the throne of God, the author of Revelation adds their own descriptive elements to the picture created. Hence, we have the 24 thrones filled by elders. No doubt he had in mind representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus as God's attendants. What the author is doing for us is to give his readers a glimpse into the heavenly realm where God's sovereignty is assured and acknowledged by all. In doing so, that powerful image acts as a guiding light towards the future. This is the final destination with God's authority and rule acknowledged, no matter how messed up and confused things seem to be now. In a period dominated by a worldly empire and with Roman emperors declaring themselves deified or sons of the deified ones, the implicit challenge to that system by the imagery of Revelation is obvious. The otherworldly is being brought into this world and the reader is being transported beyond their own understanding of the way things are to a deeper knowledge of what is going on. Filmmakers have the ability to transport us beyond the ordinary in this way too. And at its best, worship has this transformative quality of recognizing the worldly, but also elevating us to a greater appreciation of what lies ahead. We have been gifted imaginations by God, which allows us to dream and visualize that which we don't know. And there are lots of examples of unknowns that we can only dream about. We live in uncertain times. Yesterday, I was in Perth for a special service and meal to mark the end of the National Youth Assembly. As I travelled down, I listened to the radio, keen to know what was happening in Parliament. I still had my sermon to complete, and there was a Brexit-sized hole in it. As I travelled home from Perth last night, I caught up with the fallout from yesterday's vote. Yesterday could have seen the end to the uncertainty about Brexit, but instead we're in a situation where a vote could take place on Monday, maybe Tuesday, to accept the deal our Prime Minister secured last week. But who knows? Speculating anything about Brexit seems to be foolish. By the time we leave here this morning, things might have changed again. Whatever happens, the months and years ahead will require vision. Those who want Brexit to happen have a vision of what life outside the EU might look like. They have their reasons for wanting this kind of future. And those who want to remain similarly have a vision for the future and have their reasons for doing so. It might even be that the vision is actually the same. A vision of a country where all can prosper and all have the opportunity to achieve. The difficulty with politics is that we can share a vision for what the future might look like, but the route there is often very different. Different political parties have different policies to achieve similar goals. Get our country back on the road to a brighter future, the Conservative Party. Creating an economy that works for all, the Labour Party. Demand better for Britain, the Liberal Democrats. It's time to choose our own future, the SNP. Our ambitions for Scotland are limitless, the Scottish Greens. These slogans were taken from the relative respective websites, and they all share similarities, and yet we know that the route to these similar visions for each of the political parties is very different. And the church is no different when it comes to having a vision for the future. The Church of Scotland in General Assembly back in May made a clear statement that change was needed. And change would have to come in how, as a denomination, we are organised, and more importantly, how we minister to members and those in our parishes. Things will be different. The draft presbytery plan offers a vision of what could be, but at this stage we're left with lots of questions that will need answers at some point. The authors of the plan have set out a way of being for the Church of Scotland here in Aberdeen that is very different to the way things are. Things will be different. We in our corner of Aberdeen have been given a possible way forward in the suggestion that we work more closely with our neighbours. It will require us to be open to new ways of working, new partnerships, new organisational structures. Things will be different. It will require vision. The idea of one Kirk session looking after multiple church communities raises many questions. With less ministers, how do we provide worship in each part of the grouping? Are we to pool our finances? Where will the new church be built at Countess Wells? And the list just goes on. We don't have the answers at the moment. But what we do have is an opportunity to dream and envisage what things might be like and then work out how to get there. The next few months before a final vote is taken will give us the space to begin this and to get some clarity. Unlike the Brexit question, there is no option for the status quo. The Church of Scotland does not have the resources to allow for that. There are just not enough ministers. We have too many buildings, many of them in a state of disrepair, many of them no longer at the centre of their communities, and we are all smaller and older as congregations. This impacts on finances and the capacity of congregations to function properly, and it affects the morale of church members. The vision set by last year's General Assembly of radical change was not brought in to manage decline, but rather to facilitate growth. Last Saturday's night's movie night, we watched the very moving film, The Mission. In many ways, it is a hard watch. It's not a film with a happy ending. But in the middle of it is a story of resurrection. One of the main characters, Mendoza, starts the film as a mercenary providing slaves for the European plantation owners in South America. He is a ruthless and nasty man. After killing his brother in a fight over a woman, he meets a Jesuit priest in prison and is offered the opportunity to leave the prison and to go to the Jesuit mission high in the hills and serve his time there. One of the most powerful images in the film is the depiction of Mendoza carrying a heavy net with all his armour and weapons. The journey is difficult. He falls many times back down the hill he has just climbed. The weight he is carrying is too much. His journey becomes easier when an indigenous tribesman cuts him free of his heavy burdens. The symbols of his past are gone, and he is free to become a better person, and his personal growth is quite extraordinary. Cut free from his old ways, he discovers a new, more fulfilling life, one where he discovers God's love set in an idyllic mission high above the Iguazu waterfalls in South America. His life is resurrected. He encounters grace amongst the very people he has terrorized in recent years. Things are different. And we all face times when life takes a different turn. Times when the path we are on twists and turns and seems to have no end. Difficult times. Times when we can only imagine what is to come. Our reading from Revelation presents a vision of heaven. It maybe isn't the same vision that you have of heaven, but it is the author's description of heaven. And it's influenced, as we heard, from texts from the Old Testament and by the Gospels. It is influenced by the past, but it is a vision of the future. Whatever happens in the weeks, months, and years ahead with regards to our political future or with regards to how the draft presidency plan develops, both situations create an opportunity for a new way. Each will have visionaries that will help us see what is possible. And my prayer is that those that do so will do so with careful consideration and bring people into the vision they have. That those who are on different sides of any debate or discussion and inevitable argument can do so with grace, that words can be chosen carefully, and that hearts and minds can be open to what the future holds, a shared future. Amid all the uncertainty, the reading we have from Revelation, although a vision of a future destination, offers a degree of stability. Our reading from Psalm offers us a reminder of where that stability comes from, because there's one thing that does not change, and that is God. In Psalm 33, we were offered these words: "The words of the Lord are true, and all his works are dependable. The Lord loves what is righteous and just. His constant love fills the earth." Good words for a time of uncertainty, surely, and comforting to hear. Whatever happens in the future, we have God and we have his love. Our reading from Revelation is a vision of a place and destination for the future. God is in its centre. I want to finish with reading to you the words of a hymn, not one from our hymn book, but from one that was written for that Iona community. So I'm going to read it as a poem. It's entitled "God Who Stands Beyond the Future." God, eternal and unchanging, though unbound by time or place, yet with constant tender yearning, you sustain our human race. History in all its colours, present moment where we stand, hidden future still to open, all are gathered in your hand. God, who sees all human stories, you in each your touch display, sometimes known and sometimes hidden, you have met us on our way. Though we may have failed or faltered, doubted love, restricted grace, yet persistent you walked with us as we travelled to this place. God, whose life pervades each moment, meet us in this present hour as we open thought and action to your life-transforming power. Startle, challenge, and confront us. Touch our hearts and free our hands so that we may see and serve you, yield to all your love demands. God who stands beyond the future. What's to come is still unknown. Yet unchanging, you are with us, and we will not walk alone. Go with us through doubt and darkness. Stand with us in hopeful place till the chain of time is broken and we see you face to face. Amen. We continue in our worship through our offering. Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. In this truth we will follow, in this hymn we will sing, in this wonder we will live, in this vision we will see. Lord, take what we offer in love. Amen. Going to sing now hymn 641, Seek Ye First. Now this hymn is often sung in a round, but what's going to happen is we're just as a congregation going to sing it through, but the choir at the back are going to do the counter melody part. So if you hear something different coming from behind you, that's what's happening there, but we'll just sing it through. 641, Seek Ye First.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but from where I was standing, that sounded absolutely beautiful. Well done, the choir, for singing across the top of us. Great. Let's come to God now with a prayer for the world. Let us pray. God, who in Jesus broke down all barriers between people of different races, rich and poor, male and female, Jew and Gentile, between heaven and earth, we worship you. God, at this time of heavy responsibility, as decisions about future relationships with our neighbours in Europe are being taken, we pray for our leaders that they will lead wisely, that they will listen attentively, and they will exercise grace, and they will know peace in their deliberations. God, at this time of uncertainty within our nations and communities, we pray for ourselves, that we will remain open to the stranger, welcoming to the neighbour, and committed to those who struggle. God, we pray for your church, of which we are a part, that we might be a place of honest reflection, respectful dialogue, open friendship, humility, and reconciliation. We pray that we might be a community that points to heaven and shows ways in which heaven is glimpsed on earth. God, who in Jesus breaks down all barriers between people of different races, rich and poor, male and female, Jew and Gentile, between heaven and earth, we worship you. Amen. Our closing hymn is 111, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. In this truth, we go out into the world and bless it with generous living, walking with God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit, by our side, always.